If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
All right, we got 2 hours left here on this edition of the Eric Ainge Show. We are brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of the Vols and Lady Vol basketball. Don't forget, Lady Vols got something going on tonight. Going to be fun. And we're here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We'll be here for 2 more hours.
Big one tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. If you missed the start of the show, I think with Connecticut tonight, 8 o'clock tip-off, College game day is here starting at 7, gates open at 6. I think that for all he's done throughout the years, that people should get there early and provide some type of welcome to Gino Auriemma. If you want to cheer as yours a contribution to women's basketball, I think you should do that. If you want to show your respect for a basketball Hall of Famer, I think you should do that. If you want to boo as loud as you can because he's Gino and gosh dang it, he's earned that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Then I think you should get there and do that. I think fans in this town should buy tickets if for no other reason than to offer Gino some type of welcome to Knoxville. Loudly. One way or the other.
No, I'll just say it. I hope everyone boos the crap out of him, and it's so loud.
Tickets.
I can do that.
Tickets still available at allvols.com. Good seats. Come on down. Be there for college game day. Be there. Be loud for the game. Can't wait for it. It's time to take a look at the 10 o'clock reset. Thanks to Craven Wings. 3 locations of Craven Wings, including South North Shore, Chodo, Chapman Highway, and Seymour. And the all-new Craven Wings Express at Foothills Mall in Maryville. They have all of the games on at all of those locations. And they're building out the patio at the Maryville location as well. It's going to join the patio at the South North Shore location. Just a great opportunity for you to get in, enjoy some great food, some great wings. You have Wing Ding Wednesday. You have Kids Eat Free on Mondays and Tuesdays. Great menu at Craven Wings, and you can check it all out right now. Craven Wings, C-R-A-V-E-N, wings.com. All right, over the next 2 hours here, Tennessee absolutely took care of Georgia last night.
Left no doubt.
Georgia scored 19 points in the second half. 2 of those points came on a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Which, is it more or less embarrassing? Okay, would it be less embarrassing for Georgia had they only scored 39 but didn't score a buzzer beater when nobody on Tennessee was paying attention? Because I think the hitting the last shot the way they did is pretty embarrassing. But anyway, Tennessee 70-41. Why Tennessee winning the way they did last night seems important in context. We'll also talk about Stetson Bennett. Your buddy Eric is not going to be at the Senior Bowl. He has declined an invitation to the Senior Bowl.
I don't understand that.
Okay. We'll unpack it coming up here in just a few. Play, of course, Florida, Alabama, or Georgia coming up at 11. We'll have a Lady Vols UConn preview. We'll have Upset of the Week with Tyler White at 11:30. All that and more over the next 2 hours here on the Eric Ainge Show. So, Eric, last night Tennessee defeats Georgia 70-41. It was 35-22 at halftime. Vols scored 35 more points in the second half to win by 29. Held the Bulldogs to 29% from the field, 18% from three-point range. Tennessee committed 9 turnovers to Georgia's 20. As was pointed out by Jonathan on the text box earlier as well, Georgia in their previous losses. Now, Georgia's record, they're not a great team. Okay, we're not going to hold this up as some great loss over a power opponent. They had taken 6 losses before last night. In those 6 losses, Georgia had scored 71, 73, 77, 75, 71, and 82. Tennessee holds them to 41. By far, they're low for the season.
I mean, that's half of what they scored against. Who was it that they scored 82 against?
Vanderbilt.
Vandy. They held them to half of what they scored against Vanderbilt.
The previous low for Georgia this year in points was 62 in a win over ETA. Excuse me, 58 in a win over Mississippi State.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, you can take it one of a couple ways. Okay, so here's the deal.
Okay.
If you didn't watch the game and you saw that Georgia only scored 41 points and shot 29% from the field, it'd be easy to say, wow, Georgia just had a bad night. Mm-hmm. Okay, why did they have a bad night? Because they didn't get a single good look at the basket all night long. They got a few. They got a few good looks all night long. Mm-hmm. It was so hard. You know, you watch the football game where the quarterback never has time to throw the ball. They mm-hmm. can't run the football. They can't get open. And you're watching the game and you're going, they don't have a chance. There's not even a chance for them to have success right now. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like watching Georgia on offense last night. It would take them half the shot clock to get the ball to make a couple passes around the perimeter. God forbid, get the ball inside.
Okay, here's why it's important. Obviously, because you won the game. But last night in the SEC, Florida beat South Carolina 81-60. There's no surprise. Tennessee beats Georgia 70-41. Texas A&M, who's now 6-1 in the conference, went on the road to 15th-ranked Auburn and ended the nation's longest home winning streak.
You know why that's important?
79-63, and Auburn was only within 9 once.
You know why that's important? Because the knock on A&M so far has been they weren't good in the preseason, mm-hmm. and their SEC schedule has been garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were 5-0, they didn't really have one good win.
So they went and beat a top 15 team on their home court where nobody had won in almost 2 years by 16.
There's your answer. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it yesterday. How many teams from the Southeastern Conference make the NCAA tournament? All I know is since SEC play has started, if you watch, and I've only watched them play a few times, but if you watch A&M play, they look like a tournament team. Buzz has them playing good on both ends of the court, transition, defense.
They have some good opportunities coming up to continue running their record. They aren't participating in the SEC Big 12 Challenge because the Big 12 has obviously fewer schools than the SEC. They have Vanderbilt on Saturday. They have Arkansas in the midweek next week, then Georgia, Auburn again, but at home, at LSU, home for Arkansas, at Missouri, and then home for Tennessee. They have some opportunities down the stretch to continue building the resume that they have.
You could make an argument that they may be favored to win almost all of those games. Obviously not Tennessee, maybe not Auburn, maybe not, you know, having beat them might help a little bit. It's a home game, might be a small spread. But the rest of those, they may be favored to win all those.
They are in contention for an SEC regular season championship. Now, Alabama's still undefeated.
They're really good, too.
But Alabama last night, challenged by Mississippi State, had to have a comeback, trailed by double digits for a good chunk of the game. They do win 66-63. But they did not take care of business against a terrible Mississippi State team. Tennessee's already beaten them twice, correct?
So Alabama fell victim to what the rest of the top 25 has been falling victim to in the last 2 weeks.
And that was going to be my next point. In the last 2 weeks, each of the last 2 weeks coming into this week, half of the top 25 has taken at least one loss.
So it's happening, and Alabama didn't show up. They clearly weren't ready to play. They didn't play their best brand of basketball. Why are they such a good team? Well, they still found a way to play good in crunch time and win the basketball game.
Yes, they did.
Lesson learned. You didn't have to take a loss. Lesson learned. I kind of thought that might happen to us last night.
It was
going on.
A good Georgia team at times coming in could pose some problems.
16.5-point favorites in the basketball
total
game.
Total disrespect from the numbers.
Home game, super comfortable, right? Sometimes it's easier to play on the road, believe it or not. So all the writing was on the wall for Tennessee to maybe, and that's why I picked, what did I say, 12 or 13? Yeah, I didn't think it would be like 66-63 Alabama Mississippi State. I didn't think it would be that bad, but it would not have shocked me if we didn't play our best defense and we did give them some good looks at the basket and they did score some points. Mm-hmm. That would not have surprised me, and I wouldn't have knocked them for it.
Right.
As long as you still win the game, especially if you win it by double digits, it's okay in basketball to have an off day. Mm-hmm. That exists. That does happen. But Tennessee last night proved that they're not ready to do that.
Important the way you took care of business, particularly heading into a massive matchup with Texas on Saturday. Look, that doesn't affect the SEC standings, but Tennessee's projected a one seed. If you have a win over Texas coming up this weekend, it continues the case that you are indeed a one seed. You are indeed a top seed line team going into this last stretch where everything's winnable. Every game in front of you, you're going to be favored to win except for maybe Alabama. And if Tennessee takes care of that business, regardless of what happens with Alabama, they're probably going to be a one seed. And then you can have a chance to beat Alabama for an SEC regular season championship, which Tennessee has not had in several years since,
that
I believe, 2016. So those things are important, and those things will continue to be important as Tennessee looks toward the remainder of its schedule. We will come back here to North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We'll go through the text box, take your phone calls when we come back. 865-656-9900. It's the Eric Haines Show. We return next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Call or text 865-656-9900 to join us here on the Eric Haines Show, broadcasting live today from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A lot of deals over here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, including 15-minute no appointment needed oil changes.
You guys have enjoyed the cafe as
absolutely.
Well. You had the
Mary hooks it up.
You had the jalapeno ham wrap?
Yeah, it's really good. And then, especially with the so is it okay?
Uh-huh.
Because there's a whole cafe over there.
Yes.
So I'm enjoying a wrap from
right.
the cafe.
Right.
They have the Chipotle Tabasco sauce, which is my favorite.
Uh-huh.
I take the entire thing mm-hmm. and bring it to my table. So now no one else gets to enjoy the Chipotle Tabasco sauce.
Well, I think you should take it back because you're done now.
No, I'm going to eat some in like a little bit.
Okay. Oh, so you still have the other half of the wrap. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But no one else can have any.
I would have put some on the side. And
that's
dipped,
the thing, right?
Yeah.
You dip it on the side?
Yeah.
Ainge going to Ainge.
Yeah, we know. Up to $6,000 off selected Jeeps. Ram trucks have great specials as well. Right here, North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can check out the selection online, North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com. They are celebrating the Start Something New sales event. Largest inventory in the state of Gladiators, Wranglers, Ram trucks, including heavy duty. And this is no hassle. You come here, the first price is the only price under MSRP pricing, no cost lifetime warranty. And it's just a relaxing atmosphere here because there's no pressure. You can just come here and enjoy the cafe. Out here, it's one of the best places to eat in this little area that we're in. I-75 and Callahan Drive, 225 Callahan Drive. Just off the Callahan exit right here. And you can contact them with any questions as well. North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com. 865-656-9900 if you would like to join us. Michael says this in the text box. Ainge, I was hoping that we were right with picking Triple J yesterday. That way lunch would be on Brian and Logan. But at least they didn't get it right either.
Nobody got it right. I picked four players in double figures. You guys picked three players in double figures.
There were two.
And there were two, and we all got it wrong. Hey, you know what? you got a decent team if you can all get it wrong. There's a lot of teams where there's one or two guys that you're going to pick every single night.
Yep.
And that's nice in itself, I guess. But the reason it's a fun game for us, because with our team, you literally have no idea.
Steve from Jefferson County says he'd love to see the Pride of the Southland there tonight, rocking Rocky Top, welcoming Gino with that. The pep band will indeed be there, loud and in charge, probably directing it directly at Gino.
Was it Jerry Stackhouse that the Tennessee fan sat behind him and said, "You're going to get fired, Jerry.
Yes.
You're getting fired, Jerry," for the entire game?
Yeah.
Can we get him on? Okay, I have two radio requests.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I want to get the "You're getting fired, Jerry." I would like to at least know his name so we can give him credit.
All right.
And then the young man last night that hit a layup, a free throw, a three-pointer.
And the half-court.
And a half-court shot. They could do that at Thompson Bowling Arena for the next 20 years, and no one will do that.
He only won $600,
which is
low for what he did.
Can we step that up, please? Who is that, marketing?
Yeah.
We know everybody over there.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you out.
Yeah.
It's a fake number anyway because no one ever wins whatever number you put up there.
Except
he did last night.
Yep. Got high fives going around. Brad asks in the text box, "Brian, are you nervous about calling your first Lady Vols UConn game tonight?"
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Not yet. When I say this with complete sincerity, I have been nervous broadcasting maybe three times. There was the first time I did a softball game on the radio because I'd done some streaming, but then it's like, oh, here's some actual big deal
on the radio.
And Mickey said, "Okay, you're going to go do it tomorrow." And that was it. A little nervous for that one. I was so nervous I could barely stand it when we played game one of the National Championship Series in 2013. It was fine. I mean, you couldn't tell on the broadcast, right?
Weren't nervous in the Bahamas calling the men's games at all?
No, because
I listened to most of it. It didn't sound nervous.
Because I had Bert.
Yeah. Money.
And it's just, I mean, it's basketball. You're calling.
Yeah, I get it.
Oddly, was not nervous at all the first time I did the Lady Vols game this year. Wasn't nervous. It was weird when I did it filling in for Mickey 2 years ago because it was the COVID year. You're wearing a mask. You're sitting in a different spot. There's nobody in the arena. It was just different. And then my first game this year, I wasn't nervous because I don't know. I just, it was weird. I didn't feel that way.
Can you explain something to me then?
Yes.
So when you keep going to the bathroom, is it to pee or is it to get in front of the mirror and say, "You got this. You're going to kill it tonight." Are we hyping it up in the mirror?
I've had a Celsius, a Diet Coke, and most of this water.
So you're just peeing.
It's just one.
I can't confirm or deny that he's not in the bathroom here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram pumping himself up.
But I didn't tell you the third time. The third time was the first high school football game that we did.
Okay.
Because I had done high school football before, but it was like, we're starting this thing that we're asking all of our listeners to follow, and it was great. But that nervousness went away after like the first drive. So no, not tonight. Maybe I'll feel different about 7:50, but you know, you just go. They pay me to tell you what happens. It makes it easy because I just tell you what happens. I got the charts ready to go. I got to go get them printed here after we get off the air. But yeah. Also, countdown to tip-off today through the UT Alumni Association and the Facebook page coming up at 12:30. Have a couple of special guests, including Michelle Marciniak today.
So, very cool.
Was part of that first Tennessee-Connecticut game. All right. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us. When we return, we're going to shift away from hoops for a segment. Your guy Stetson Bennett is not going to play in the Senior Bowl. For someone of his stature, many people felt like the Senior Bowl would be his best opportunity to prove that he belonged. He seems to be ready to rely on his film from the playoff game in the national championship. Eric Ainge, what do you think of that? We'll talk about that when we come back. 865-656-9900. More of your phone calls, more from the text box as well on the Eric Ainge Show.
Last night, fourth-ranked Tennessee took down Georgia 70-41. Zakai Ziegler led Tennessee with 11 points, but Tobe Awaka came in off the bench scoring 10. Tennessee improves to 7-1 in SEC play. Also yesterday, Tennessee announced that AD Danny White, they have signed him to a new six-year rolling contract that will pay him $2.2 million a year. The new deal makes White the highest-paid AD in the SEC. Elsewhere around the country, well, in college basketball in the SEC, Alabama took down Mississippi State 66-63. Texas A&M hammered Auburn in an upset 79-63. Florida took down South Carolina 81-60. Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or business outdoor space into reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Native Design and Hardscape, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the Eric Ain Show live at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Be here till noon. A lot of stuff going on. Don't forget, if you miss any of the show, a lot of people do this every single day. You can podcast whatever you missed. Just go to the website, 991thesportsanimal.com.
Okay. Stetson Bennett is not going to play in the Senior Bowl. There are conflicting reports whether he actually formally declined the invitation or his people just said he wasn't going to be participating if he was invited. Stetson Bennett will prepare for the NFL Combine. Assuming he will be part of that.
He'll get invited to the Combine.
So, Eric, is Stetson Bennett making a mistake by not participating in the Senior Bowl, not going to those practices, not talking to those general managers and player personnel people, not putting himself in front of NFL coaches?
I think the short answer is yes.
Okay.
Because it's such an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You're skipping out on an amazing opportunity. The question is, going through it, listening, looking at it, mm-hmm. would it actually help him to do it, or would it maybe hurt to do it? And the reason I say that is, listen, I think Stetson Bennett is going to be a mid-round draft pick.
I think Mel Kiper yesterday predicted him to be a third-round pick. Most other analysts have him between the fifth round and undrafted free agent.
See, I think undrafted free agent's wrong. I think fifth is safe. He could go higher than that. Stetson Bennett, you also have to, like, people's stock changes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look at Hendon Hooker. You can have guys that are just a guy, and then they play pretty well, and then the next thing you know, they're playing like a first or a second round draft pick. And getting hurt. Mm-hmm. But it, in the course of one season, you see it every year, guys go from not really all that talked about all that much, mm-hmm. to being first or second round draft picks. Mm-hmm. It happens every year. So it's not unrealistic that Stetson Bennett, after last season, was widely regarded as a college-only guy, definitely no future in the NFL. That's what it was even after their championship last year.
Right.
And then to start this year, it was college guy, probably even, you know, pretty much the same. And then as the season went on, that changed a little bit. And then by the end of the season, you have a guy who is making plays simultaneously as Brock Purdy is making plays in the NFL. And you have this last pick of the draft, too short, decent arm guy, killing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps Stetson Bennett because, no one's going to draft him as their starting quarterback. That will not happen.
Okay.
However, they may draft him thinking with his athletic ability and his ability to play well in crunch time that he could easily be one of our backup quarterbacks. If you get drafted in the third round, there's a good opportunity that the NFL team drafting you thinks you could be their number two guy. Mm-hmm. If you get drafted in the fifth or later rounds, you're getting drafted as the third guy. And on some teams, maybe even the fourth guy. Mm-hmm. So I think the way to look at it for Stetson Bennett is do NFL teams value him as a Stetson could be our number two next year? Well, then he might be a third-round draft pick. I think there may be some teams that do that. I think the majority of teams will look at Stetson Bennett's career and his and how well he plays in big moments and all the success he's had and say, I want him on my team more than likely as the third guy on the team, which means he's probably a fourth to sixth round draft pick. So it just depends on their evaluation of him. Where the Senior Bowl comes in, he has an opportunity to get some of those teams that view him as a third guy to maybe put him up in the, this guy's good, he could be our backup. Mm-hmm. And if you get five more teams to put you in that category, there's five more teams that may spend a third-round draft pick on you. Instead of two teams, now maybe you have seven. So there is a lot of value in him going to the Senior Bowl. I'm not sure why he wouldn't. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's afraid to, like, doesn't he, like, at all. I mean, right. Like, his whole brand is that he gives zero and he's going to give it everything he's got. So I doubt it's because he thinks he wouldn't perform well in practice. So I don't know what the answer, why he wouldn't go.
So if you're a scout, do you hold it against him that he didn't want to come and participate? Because I saw the reaction from one person anonymously in a report on this yesterday was he's not good enough to skip this opportunity. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you need to know why he's not going. Because I agree. Like, okay.
Reportedly, it's simply he wants to focus on the combine.
Then I think that's weird.
Okay.
I think it's a little weird. Well, it just doesn't make sense. I shouldn't say it's weird. Because I don't know where his head's at, it doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. What makes sense is him taking the opportunity to get a whole bunch of more NFL teams on the Stetson Bennett bus. Mm-hmm. Because I think he could do that. He's a personable guy. He's cocky. NFL teams, you know, they like that. He could play well in practice, go play well in the game. That doesn't ever hurt. Doesn't really help a lot, but it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be it's probably a missed opportunity. It doesn't mean he still couldn't be a third or fourth round pick. He easily could be. I just think the best way to explain it is he had an opportunity to get more teams on his side. Tim Tebow was a first-round draft pick to one of the 32 teams.
And it was one. The one that
and they drafted him. And they drafted him. So if Stetson Bennett is a third-round pick to two NFL teams, then depending on what happens in front of him, if those two teams have opportunities to take players that they think can contribute immediately as starters, then he doesn't get drafted in the third round. Mm-hmm. So he ends up with a third-round grade going in the fourth or fifth round. If there's seven teams that think he's a third-round draft pick, that's where they value him, you're just increasing your odds that you actually get picked then. So I think he probably should play. I don't know why he's not. Maybe he has a good reason for it. I don't know. But it seems like a potential missed opportunity. It may not affect him at all. He may still get drafted in the exact same spot.
Okay, you have a draft pick in the fifth round. Do you take him?
I would. Now, what you have to determine is how much of his success was because of who he played with versus...
Which is the knock on him most scouts.
And it's a fair knock because that's... I mean, like, remember Ken Dorsey at Miami?
Yeah.
Remember how average he was? Mm-hmm. And remember how good those teams were?
Now he's a really good OC.
He's a great OC. But, I mean, he was, if you put him on any other team in the ACC back then, he's a third-team all-conference quarterback. But at Miami, he was much better. So I think it's only natural. Like, if you put Brock Purdy on the New York Jets, do you think he's having success right now?
Probably not.
Oh, 100% no. But he plays on the best team in the NFL with the best skill players. And he's doing a great job. But there's always that asterisk next to his success that is, yeah, but look who he's doing it with. He's got the best offensive-minded coach, one of the best tight ends, one of the best all-purpose players, the best running back, another top 15, 20 receiver. It just devalues it a little bit. That's all. It doesn't make what he's doing not impressive. It just makes you, you know, kind of brings up the question of, well, how good is it? Like when Cam Newton did what he did at Auburn with hardly anything around him, it was very easy to say, well, this is happening because of Cam. Cam right. is doing this. You know, that's just A.J. McCarron. How good would A.J. McCarron have been if he played on Tennessee's team in that same era? Probably not that great.
Yeah.
He'd been okay. He'd been fine. It's just a normal thing. Football, playing quarterback, if you have better players around you, naturally, you're going to look a lot better. I think the one thing that helps Stetson Bennett a lot is a ton of plays that he made in big games. They were plays that he made. Mm-hmm. Scrambling around, half falling over, slinging it, running the football all over people, dropping dimes against tight man-to-man coverage in the end zone. You can't knock those plays.
Right.
You don't watch that play and go, well, that only happened because he plays on Georgia. No. And that's what he did in all the championship games. He went out there and made plays. If you only watched him in the championship games, if that's the only time you watched Stetson Bennett play, you'd have thought he was you would have thought he was one of the best players by far in college football. By far. You watch him all the rest of the time and he was fine. He was fine. But you watch him in those moments and you go, holy cow. So
and
I don't know. Does that outweigh it? Do the NFL teams use that?
Well, and that matters to the teams that are – one assistant coach in the NFL told Trey Wallace of Fox and Outkick yesterday that he's not even a fifth-round quarterback in his mind, but if you are looking to draft a winner, then you draft him. Winners matter to some NFL teams. They don't matter at all to others. But he is a winner. He has won two straight national championships. He has overcome every negative thing somebody said about him. It's interesting. He's an interesting case. And we'll see.
He will get drafted, though.
We'll see how not going to the Senior Bowl affects that interesting case. We will come back. Final segment of this hour of the Eric Haine Show is coming up next as we roll on from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
If you want to join us here on the Eric Haine Show, coming to you live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where right now you can get up to $6,000 off select new Gladiators because it is the Start Something New sales event. Largest inventory in the state of Gladiators, Wranglers, Ram trucks, including heavy duty. No hassle, no haggle. First price is the only price. And while you're here, you can enjoy the cafe as both Chris Bernard and Eric Haine have done this morning here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Got the service department just to our left where we are set up here, as well as Gary's Off-Road Center. Outstanding service, outstanding people here. North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We go around the SEC last night in college hoops. Four games last night. Florida beat South Carolina 81-60. Of course, Tennessee 70, Georgia 41. Texas A&M with the upset we talked about earlier in the show, 79-63 at Auburn. And then Alabama in comeback fashion after being down double digits, defeated Mississippi State and made the quick bus ride over from Starkville, 66-63. So the SEC standings heading into the weekend where most teams will be out of conference with the SEC Big 12 Challenge looks like this. Alabama leads the way at 8-0, Tennessee 7-1, Texas A&M 6-1. Auburn 6-2, Kentucky 5-3, Florida 5-3, though I don't know the next 2 weeks are going to go great for them. Missouri's 4-4, Georgia's 3-4, Vanderbilt's 3-4, Arkansas 3-5. And then you have one win teams in South Carolina, Mississippi State, LSU, and Ole Miss. Coming up this weekend in the SEC Big 12 Challenge across the conference. Again, not every team will participate because there are more SEC teams than there are Big 12 teams. But here's how it will look on Saturday. You will have a couple of conference games, and that will be Vanderbilt and Texas A&M, as well as South Carolina and Georgia. The SEC Big 12 Challenge, though, at noon on Sunday, Auburn is at West Virginia. At 2 o'clock, Texas Tech is at LSU. Also at 2, Alabama is at Oklahoma on ESPN, and Iowa State is at Missouri on ESPN2. The 4 o'clock slot, TCU is at Mississippi State on ESPN2. Arkansas is at Baylor on ESPN. Night slot, 6 o'clock, Texas at Tennessee. The only top 25 matchup in this challenge this year is Texas at Tennessee. Also in the 6 o'clock slot over on ESPN2 is Florida at number 5, Kansas State. Then the 8 o'clock slot will be Ole Miss at Oklahoma State on ESPN2, Kansas at Kentucky on ESPN. So it will be a fun weekend for SEC hoops. Best matchup is obviously Texas at Tennessee. I'm interested to see Kansas-Kentucky because this is a lot like the Tennessee game for Kentucky in that if the Wildcats can win this game, they're going to bolster their argument for an NCAA tournament berth. They have turned it around from their cold start, and now Kentucky will have another chance to make a statement win against a Kansas program that has struggled in recent weeks. Kansas has lost 3 straight, and now they come into this SEC Big 12 Challenge in desperate need of a win and trying to go to Rupp Arena, regardless of how good Kentucky is not a place that is conducive for a team desperate for a win. I think also you have TCU that will have a tough test against a Mississippi State team that just pushed Alabama to the brink. Spoiler alert for upset of the week a little later on. I'm going to be looking at Iowa State at Missouri. That Missouri team is playing very well. And to go back to a Big 12 old Big 8 matchup, Missouri's breaking out the throwbacks on Saturday. So a good opportunity there. If you're watching Vanderbilt and Texas A&M instead of Kansas-Kentucky, I'm not sure what you're doing with your life on Saturday evening. Texas A&M should win that one in a walkover. Similarly, if South Carolina-Georgia is your cup of tea at 6 o'clock instead of Texas-Tennessee or Florida-Kansas State, you're either a degenerate gambler or you're a really big fan of one of those two teams. So that's the schedule for the SEC Big 12 Challenge coming up this weekend. Landon says, noticed some Georgia fans talking about how Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young have similar physical attributes, yet Bryce Young is a guaranteed first-round pick. Can you explain why Bryce Young is that much higher? Understand he's much better, but still curious. In your opinion, I think that's it. I think Bryce Young has all the intangibles. He has the physical ability. He has a stronger arm. I just think he is better by all the measurables, and he's a winner. Stetson Bennett is a winner, and he does well, but is not necessarily – he's not seen as a guy who can elevate a team. Right or wrong, he's not seen as a guy that can elevate a team. And Bryce Young is. Jimmy says, any other NFL draftees not participating in the Senior Bowl other than Stetson Bennett? Would his draft status decrease if he gets hurt while playing in the Senior Bowl? I think the whole thing with the Senior Bowl is practices, more so than the game.
And the practices, I think you have a decent opportunity to get hurt if you're a lineman, defensive lineman, linebacker, running back. If you're a skilled player, it's minimal. It's just
fear of injury can't be a part of the Senior Bowl conversation in my mind.
Not for a quarterback or really even a receiver.
Yeah, that's again where his deal just doesn't make sense. But
we're trying to make it make sense.
Hey, it's his future on the line, not mine. If he doesn't want to go play in the Senior Bowl, I don't care. I'm not going to watch the Senior Bowl. But if I'm in the Senior Bowl is the only other place other than the Combine where every NFL team is represented by people who make decisions on who to draft. It's not.
Yeah, they're all there.
Because pro days, most pro days do not feature people who are involved in making the decisions of who to draft. Scouts go. Scouts are part of those meetings, but scouts aren't making the call. At the Senior Bowl and at the Combine, the people who make the draft picks are present. And I think he is losing out, even if he participates in the Combine, I think he's losing out on a good opportunity to impress people.
Don't you wish you knew what was going through his mind? Mm-hmm. We're actively sitting here trying to think of a reason why you wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. I can't think of very many.
This from the text box is Josiah Jordan James doing okay after his fall last night. Didn't see him come back in after that. It's from Paul the Ice Cream Man.
Oh, nice.
I did not there was no injury update after the game, so I assume he is okay after that. But
you didn't need him.
No, I think they were trying to work in younger guys at that point anyway. I don't think there's reason for concern with him, but we will certainly be following. Rick Barnes will next speak to the media tomorrow, I believe.
Okay.
And so we'll get an update.
I'll bet he's fine.
That would be my guess.
I'll bet he's fine.
But I didn't see any concern from people coming out of that one last night. 865-656-9900. We have a big final hour ahead on the Eric Haines Show. We have Florida, Alabama, or Georgia.
Woo!
We have a Tennessee-UConn preview.
Yeah.
We have Tyler Wyatt for Upset of the Week.
I feel good about my pick this week.
I feel pretty good about mine, too.
Good.
Are you going basketball?
I'm going NFL.
Okay.
NFL.
Okay.
It's a great sports weekend. Holy cow.
It is. Between the SEC Big 12 Challenge, other college basketball, and then those two NFL Conference Championship games. Going to be a lot of fun. We will tell you about that. We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia when we return. Coming to you live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Check out the website, NorthKnoxChryslerDodgeJeepRam.com. Again, it's the Start Something New sales event. Savings up to $6,000 on select new Gladiators. Largest inventory in the state of Gladiators, Wranglers, Ram trucks, including heavy duty. Right here, North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Sierra Kane Show. We play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.